This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On site at Caddy's in Bethesda, Grant and Danny getting ready for Wizards draft lottery night and postseason hockey. As we welcome you back on The Fan, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show wants to know, the law firm Kendorian Murrah. They're going to help you to draft the last will and testament, set up a trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Let's get into the Capitals, the Wizards, the Commanders, all on this blitz. We'll start on the ice. Mike Vogel, WashingtonCaps.com. Down 2-1 in this series, Vogues. For the second time now in three games, the Caps are trying to answer to a tough loss to get even in this best of seven. What do you like about their chances tonight, and what do you think we're going to see in terms of lineup changes?
What I like about their chances is just the fact that they've been in this position a number of times over the course of the regular season and a couple of times in the playoffs. And they've been pretty good at rebounding from tough losses, bad beats, what have you. And they have yet to lose consecutive games in these playoffs. And that's paramount at this time of year. You just can't afford to let losses stack up. So that's what gives me confidence. As far as lineup changes, looks like Ryan Leonard's going to be back in place of Taylor Radish. As far as whether they juggle the lines or not, we'll have to wait till warmups to see that. And even with the Leonard thing, that was not confirmed by Spencer Carberry this morning, but just reading the tea leaves, who's on the ice late, you know, who wasn't, that sort of thing. Looks like Leno's going to be back in tonight, and Radish will be a scratch.
What's got to be different from the last game, and what's got to actually stay the same for them to win tonight?
Well, I think their 5-on-5 defense, for the most part, has been really excellent throughout the playoffs. There were a couple guys, the 2 5-on-5 goals that they gave up in game three were really good plays by Svechnikov and Eric Robinson. In a series where there's not a lot of time and space to be had anywhere, those guys made plays to create some time and space for themselves. And to me, that's what's lacking for the Caps. That's what they're going to have to do. If you go back to game four of the Montreal series and they're down 2-1 going into the third period of that game, and you saw Trevor Van Riemsdyk make a great play to set up Andrew Mangiapane and Dylan Strome also on that play too, took a couple guys away from the middle of the ice to create space for Mangiapane to score what was the game-winning goal. So I think they need some guys to step up and find a way to, where there is no time and space, create some, find a way to create some. And Spencer Carver was talking about that this morning. You know, they don't need to go from 10 high danger chances to 20 a night when the margins are this thin. They just need to go from maybe 10 to 13. And talking to some of the players, it's the usual stuff. You know, we got to get bodies. We got to get traffic. We got to create second chances, third chances. They know they can beat Freddie Anderson. They beat him in the playoffs when he was with the Maple Leafs in 2017. But you look back at that series, they won that in six games. Five of them went to overtime. So they know it's going to be tight. It's been tight throughout. You look at these four second-round series that are going on right now, this is easily the tightest in terms of time and space, lack of scoring. This one is really a chess match where the other three are a little bit more wide open.
Mike Vogel, washcaps.com, breaking the Caps down ahead of what is now the biggest game of their year. Game four, trying to get even in a best of seven. Logan Thompson, uncharacteristically, I thought, pretty pedestrian, couple of goals he'd like to have back in game three. What'd you see?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Grant. I think he would want to have the first power play goal back. I don't fault him on the second one. I give Robinson credit for making a great shot. I think he maybe would want to be a little more set on that first one by Svechnikov, but I give a guy credit for making a play on that one. I did a little research this morning. I found that there was, I think I counted 10 games that Logan gave up four or more goals during the regular season. And in the games immediately following those, he was 8-1-1. So he also personally has had a decent history in the last 9 months or so of rebounding from the occasional bad beat as well. So you'd hope that he would be in that business-like mode tonight as well.
Folks, thank you as always, man. Enjoy tonight.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Have a good night. See ya.
Talk to you soon, brother. There we go. Hit that wizard sounder, please. Buddy Varun Shankar of the Washington Post covers the Wizards. Big night for the roommates at Capital One Arena as well. Varun, this is a huge night for this regime, for this kind of, the phase they are here in their rebuild. It's going to change an awful lot or potentially put them on the path. You wrote a good piece in the Post about it. What's on the line tonight for the Wiz?
A lot, to be honest. Will Dawkins spoke to media on Friday, and he said that the Wizards, who can pick anywhere between first and sixth based on how tonight's lottery go, are going to be happy with whatever they take. But let's be honest. There is a clear hierarchy in terms of the prospects based on external valuations, internal valuations, and there's one prize at the top in Cooper Flagg. The Wizards have done a lot of stuff right since they began in the Michael Winger, Will Dawkins regime. They made a lot of smart draft picks, a lot of smart trades. But at the end of the day, they don't have a star right now, and they need to find one. Cooper Flagg could be that guy. Dylan Harper could be that guy. There's a couple of other guys in this draft that could be that guy. But you got to land with a high pick to do so.
What kind of a chance, and I get that they have a 14% chance, are your feelings kind of giving you for tonight? How do you see this going, and what are some of your thoughts on some of the narratives that are out there?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the two most likely outcomes for the Wizards, if you look at the odds, are fifth and sixth. So it's not looking, the odds are not in the Wizards' favor. And this is a product, of course, of the NBA flattening the odds a few years ago to try and curb tanking. It's, the Wizards will project confidence. They will tell you that anywhere between first and sixth, they're happy with. But like you said, they only have a 14% chance at number one. So that means they have an 86% chance of not getting flagged.
Ultimately, though, to me, obviously, Flagg is the number one prospect. That's clear for a million reasons. After that, how big is the gap, would you say? I mean, it's still early. The combine's happening now. Guys are getting measured and all the different ins and outs are happening. But how big is the gap between him and, say, Ace Bailey or Edgecombe from Baylor or some of these other guys that might be there in the 2-5 range?
Yeah, I would honestly put Bailey's teammate at Rutgers, Dylan Harper, the son of Ron Harper, former Bulls guard. He is the second guy. And I think, there is definitely a gap between him and Flagg, I would say, but I don't think it's that big. And I think, for example, I think Harper would have been the easy number one pick last year when Zachary Vissachet went one and Alex Saar went two. I think he would have been one there. He's a big guard, good feel in the pick and roll, can finish well at the rim. There's a lot of polish to his game already. So there is a gap. There is not a massive gap. I think the biggest gap comes when you go from the top two guys to 3 to 4 to 5. And really, after you get past Edgecombe, it gets a little bit more dicey. And after that, it's really eye of the beholder.
Rune, how good is Cooper Flagg? I mean, what are we talking about? If they somehow literally, figuratively hit the lottery tonight and he's the guy, what are they getting?
It is hard to overstate the caliber of player that they're getting. This is not someone on the level of LeBron or Victor Wembanyama, but this is the next year prospect pretty easily. The NBA right now is a league where if you have a weakness, opposing teams will exploit it ruthlessly. If you can't shoot, they will force you to be the open guy. If you can't defend, they will pick on you again and again and again. And here's the thing I love about Flagg. He really doesn't have many weaknesses. He is 6'8". Okay, so you can defend him at, you can make him defender on multiple positions. Okay, check. He can shoot the ball pretty well. He reworked his jump shot and I think made 38% of his threes at Duke this year. Check. He can create with the ball. He can pass with the ball really, really well. He's a skilled passer, a lot of good touch there. Check. He is a, from all accounts, a ruthless competitor who is, you know, very wired the exact way you want him to be. Check. I mean, everything you look at, this guy checks the boxes. The only question that people might have is, does he have enough on-ball creation to be a guy that you give the ball to again and again and again as the number one option in the game? And honestly, the Wizards aren't in a position to care about that yet. That's something you worry about when you're a true blue contender. And right now, he gives the Wizards a centerpiece to build around, and you can worry about those concerns down the line.
Varun, thanks, buddy. Enjoy this evening, man. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
You got to do it. We will talk soon. Hit that local 53 sounder, please. Well, it's time for our good pal, Michael Phillips, Odyssey Richmond, joining us to talk about the foosball boys. Michael, the schedule will trick out minute by minute over the next, 96 hours. We'll know sparse details as we kind of get together. They don't play on opening night against the Eagles, though. Good thing or bad thing for the team?
Great thing. That thing, you know, that's a fired up crowd, obviously. That, and also, if there's hope for a division title this year, Danny, and I think you know this as well, it's not in these guys exceeding expectations, although they very may well. It's the Eagles melting down, which is a signature move up there in Philly, and we've seen it before where by week 11, there's fans in paper bags outside the facility. I want to play the Eagles later in the season. It may not happen. They may be good, but I'm taking my chances on that, not a fired-up opening night healthy team.
Sounds like Madrid, Spain, November 16th against the Dolphins. Is Philly fired up?
See you there, buddy. Yeah, we got to figure out how to get this old Odyssey expense account working.
expense account. That's adorable.
Michael Phillips made a funny joke. I wrote it down.
Write it down.
In my journal.
4:14.
I laughed about it later.
we're all making funnies here. I like it. The one thing, the second half of that rumor is like they're going to come back and play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I don't buy that at all. I do not think they would send a team international and then do a short bye week and come back. I think the Players Association would have a lot of thoughts about essentially taking away a bye week for a team. So I don't think Thanksgiving happens because of that. But sure, it's a fun matchup with the Dolphins. These guys are a primetime team. I think we've learned it's a lot less disruptive than it used to be to go overseas. Doesn't bother me at all. Bring on the spotlight.
Gabe Taylor, rookie minicamp. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's a great story. I'd love to see him get a training camp invite just to see him out there on a field in a preseason game. I think that'd be a cool visual. It doesn't sound like the chances of him making the team are phenomenal, but I think the way the legacy has been carried on, honestly, I think this is a cooler tribute than anything they built, any installation that has been installed over the last 5 years. I think it's just a cool tribute to Sean and what it means that he would get that invite and that he would be welcomed in with open arms by everybody. By the way, while we're talking rookie minicamp, love seeing Zach Ertz there. You talk about like a program and a culture, him dropping by when he doesn't need to. That is fantastic.
Yeah, that was cool. I don't know what the capacity was. I mean, he ended up watching practice with Adam Peters, like he's getting ready for a future front office role or something, but pretty neat to see the veteran leader on site. The draft class that they put together is small, but maybe mighty. Five players we're talking about here. Josh Connerly in round one, the O-lineman from Oregon. Trey Amos at corner in round two. Then they come back in round four and get Jalen Lane, wide receiver, Virginia Tech. Eventually, UCLA linebacker, Kane Medrano, and then Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, the seventh-round running back out of Arizona. What did you think of what they got done?
Well, I think you have two sure thing day one starters, right? And then Lane, it's probably about the scorekeeping, right? He's probably going to be your lead returner. Is he a rotating piece? They probably run out with two tight ends to, in that true starting lineup. So he's not in the starting lineup, but I think he'll be a utility piece. And I think we'll see him plenty as the year goes on and as he develops. But you got two sure thing starters. And I think the success of the class rises and falls with these two, right? You're looking at a guy who is going to need to be the starting left tackle in a few years when Laramie Tunsil moves on. That's what they're developing him towards. And that is a key position on any team, but particularly one with a star quarterback. And then, of course, at corner, I don't count on Marshon Lattimore providing a whole lot. So I think the demands may be high early on. I think that's what this is all about, those two becoming regular NFL contributors, if not stars.
So, Miguel, this is a savvy, smart front office with a plan. Whether they're right about everything or not, I think it's okay to admit that nobody bats 1,000 in this thing. But they've went into last year a couple times on things that they felt better about than maybe those of us rubes on the outside did. There are a couple spots that I've got in mind where I'm going, are you sure? And they think they're right. Give me one of those positions where you think they might actually be right about it.
Where I think they might be right, even though conventional wisdom says they're wrong.
That's what I'm going for.
Oh, yeah, because I can't say defensive end, because I think they're wrong at defensive end. I don't think they've done enough. I think they need to keep adding there. Position where they're right, for the moment, is tight end. I don't think that anybody's suggesting Ben Sinnott's going to make this big year two leap, but I do like re-signing John Bates. I like being tough up front. I like guys who can block. I like the ability to add an extra blocker when you need to against teams like the Eagles. The Giants are going to have a great pass rush this year. I like protecting your young quarterback. That always gets me excited. I'm on the counter side. Like, I'm kind of worried about the things people are worried about. I'm worried about DN. I'm worried about safety. I don't know that I feel great about those positions coming into the year. Linebacker as well. I'm not going to give you reassuring words at linebacker other than hopefully Bobby Wagner's got one more Pro Bowl campaign in him.
Do you want to give me reassuring words about the Capitals playing the Canes tonight in game four?
You know, I thought game three went a lot better than game one. Obviously, the scoreboard doesn't tell that story, but I thought they were much more competitive for larger portions of that game. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I want to bring this thing back 2-2. Let's go Cavs. That's all I got for you.
I will accept.
I'm convinced.
That, right, exactly. That argument.
Is there a brick wall I can run through?
Yeah, you basically saying you'd prefer them to win.
It'd be odd.
And that
nice
it wasn't as
won.
Terrible as the first game.
It'd be nice if
Miguel,
they won.
Miguel, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
We don't need anybody freaking out here. The last thing we need is anybody freaking out.
We've got to keep our composure.
Let's keep our composure. Phillips, be good, brother.
See you, bud.
Take care.
You got it. Someone just asked a really good Commanders question in the YouTube chat.
Oh.
Of course, you can watch us on 106.7, the fans' YouTube page, in high definition today from Caddies in Bethesda, where we'll be doing our show live until 6:30 and then watching the game with you guys all night long. But somebody just asked a question that I actually want to answer. We'll do that next. It's on the Commanders. And then I want to get back into the Caps. Alex Ovechkin, whisper quiet. Three games in this series, no points. Does that end tonight? And can they win if it doesn't? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
We are live all over the DMV on our flagship 106.7 The Fan. Of course, you can listen coast to coast on the Odyssey app as well. You can watch us streaming in high definition on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page if you'd like to do that. One of the comments in the comment section there just a couple of minutes ago that caught my attention. Somebody asked, who will catch more passes this season for the Commanders? Jalen Lane, who they just drafted in the fourth round out of Virginia Tech, or Luke McCaffrey, who they drafted in the third round last year. McCaffrey, of course, a converted quarterback, now receiver, ended up being a kick returner at the end of the year, had a disappointing rookie year as the number 100 pick a year ago. My first thought, though, is actually to think it'd be Lane. But is that just recency effect, not having seen him yet, knowing that McCaffrey played last year and didn't take off? I just feel like they're going to involve Lane. He can be a running back and a wide receiver and a gadget guy and be in motion. But we also just went through this with McCaffrey, where as a young receiver, it's really hard to become reliable. It's hard to kind of work your way into a role where you're trusted and get a lot of looks. McCaffrey's second year in the system, can play inside, can play outside, probably should be the answer. And Lane, if you're talking total touches, surpasses him because he's going to get a lot of end arounds and jet stuff, I think. But just sheer catches, if he out catches McCaffrey, that feels like a pretty big indictment against Luke in year two.
I would say so. So at first I kind of went, oh, it's McCaffrey. It's obvious. Then I went, am I sure that it's obvious? Like, in other words, we fell in love with the idea of McCaffrey. And analytically, he was, you know, outperformed what he actually accomplished on the field. When you look at some of the guys that break down the film, the Matt Harmons of the world or Pro Football Focus, et cetera, his separation scores are really good. AKA, he was getting open. He was open a lot. And if your offense was really stinking up the joint, you'd go, what the hell? Why can't you find him? Just so happened, the offense was pretty damn good for most of the way, and there were options elsewhere, and other things have broken free more quickly, et cetera, or that's where the read took you. So this isn't an indictment on anybody, just bad luck sometimes. It's like we think about this with Major League Baseball. There's always seems to be a guy on a starting staff that, you know, is among the better guys in terms of ERA, innings pitch stuff, that has like the terrible record. He's like 9-10 with a 2.5. you know, Jordan Zimmerman was that guy, it always seemed like, for years, where he kind of got the raw deal. Yeah. So it's not exactly equivalent, but it sort of felt like that last year with Luke McCaffrey, where if you replayed last year with how many times he was open, how often he was, you know, getting snaps and getting some looks, could have easily had 30, 35, 40 receptions as opposed to 18. Now, that's nothing to write home about. That's not telling me, you know, you got the next Justin Jefferson or something like that, but you would think growing into his role larger, it's not as if there's a bunch of juggernauts in his way with Noah Brown back and some others. And I think Deebo Samuel's going to play a different role. So initially I'm going, yeah, it's McCaffrey. But now I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that they didn't just find a guy that's sort of their Deebo when Debo's not healthy, because that's happened a bunch, right? Where he's missed some time.
Well, let me say this. If Deebo plays in 15-plus games, and so does McLaurin, and the answer is still Lane, then it's a big problem for McCaffrey, probably.
Yes, it is.
Because then he got involved in ways that McCaffrey could have, meaning I'm with you. I think there's a little bit of a Deebo element to how he could be used as a Swiss Army knife.
Yep.
But if he's being used with Deebo on the field, then that could be McCaffrey's role, and he's essentially beating him out for it. I guess as I think about it more and more, I'll go Luke McCaffrey, but it better be for him. Because otherwise, since seeing him last year, as the year went on, the end of the season, he wasn't really being used at receiver or getting targeted. He was almost exclusively into the playoffs, helping them as a return man, number one. Deami Brown, remember, broke out and flourished in the postseason. Olamide Zaccheaus had the big game late against the Eagles. But beyond that, now you've since drafted a receiver who's very different than him, does different things, brings different elements to the offense, and you use that guy more. So that's not a good look for Luke.
No, it wouldn't be. And again, McCaffrey's more technician in development, right? He's not yet. He's only played the receiver position for a couple of years, not the world-class, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that guy run speed like Lane has, to be frank with you. He's more of that, you know, kind of workman-like. I don't want to say he's just a slot guy, because I think he's more than that, bigger, more physical, but he's kind of a sort of a possession receiver in the making. And that's got a bad nomenclature. It's like a game manager or quarterback. You could use possessions. They're pretty good for you. You know, you could box out. You can be physical. You can win with technique and win with good sense, especially against all the zone coverages that I think you're going to see, you know, the more Jaden Daniels runs around. And it's the trend in the league anyway. So it should be McCaffrey, but I don't know that it will be.
Grant and Danny live at Caddies in Bethesda. We're on Caddies at Cordell. We're going to be here until 6:30, and then we're watching the game. We have a listener watch tonight. People are going to come out. They get out of the office, watch the game with us in Bethesda. Should be a great opportunity for us to all get together and have some fun. The last time we were here watching the Caps, we had a Sunday afternoon gathering
that went
very, very well with a bunch of listeners. We watched a guy named Alex Ovechkin break Wayne Gretzky's record.
It's Ovechkin is the name.
So is that TV monitor right there, three down on the left.
Yep.
That's the one I watched him score the record-breaking goal on, and that's the one I watched him address the crowd at center ice with Wayne Gretzky cutting promos. So that'll always be a little trivia question in my family. Where was I at? I was standing right there at that bar, and I was watching that TV, and I was fighting back tears as Alex Ovechkin was addressing the crowd. So hopefully I've got some happy creeper tears again this evening as the Capitals put on a show. But speaking of Ovechkin, different conversation to have about him. Speaking of scoring, three games in this series, 0 points. That happened once for him in the regular season, where he went three straight games and didn't have a single point. And here we are, second round, chasing Carolina, and Ovi has been held off the stat sheet. Now, coming into the series, we said this might not be a great matchup. This is more of a skating series than like a just set up on the power play or, you know, dominate puck possession and score from in front of the cage kind of series. It's not necessarily the Ovi series that you're traditionally looking for. But you got to find a way to be more productive. You got to find a way to do more than he has. If he doesn't have a point today, do you think they can still win? Or is it an either or? Like, they need him to help get them going.
I mean, they can obviously still perform well without him scoring. They did it against Montreal. They won a game in this series without him, you know, lighting the lamp or having a million shots. But you need the catalyst. Right? Because to me, if he's getting opportunities, it means you've got puck possession. It means you've got some set up offensive zone time. It means you've got offensive zone faceoffs and he's ripping one off the draw or, you know, there's a little, you know, tic-tac-toe. I think the days of him leading the odd man rush and being the guy that, you know, was at the pull charge down to the net, I think that's over. And that's not really happening against Carolina.
What percentage of his goals by year, it would be fun to look at, but like this year we're in transition. I would imagine you know, unless you're counting like a power play, like his record breaking goal
was
kind of in transition.
It was,
where it's like a pass back behind him and he rips it on net. But I don't even really count that where you got some numbers on a power play. I mean, like a even strength, or if you want to go 5-on-4, that's fine. But like legitimately a 2-on-1 rush or something, it's very rare. I mean, he is kind of, whether it's his office or somewhere else, he is blasting a shot generally with his feet not necessarily moving. That's kind of or he's scoring from in front of the net.
Yeah, this is just, again, it sounds like we're knocking the guy, dismissing him. I'm not, but this it's a different game. This is a series for skaters, right? And you're going to be in the have the opportunity. Not in the, it's almost like a basketball. This is an up and down game, less so than the half court offense. He's in half court offensive genius, right? In again, to use basketball parlance, where you got possession, you got set up, you can move it around, you can cycle it up, he can get grimy, he can get in front, he can park himself, he can be in a good spot to snipe a shot, etc. A little bit less just, you know, getting out and skating and winning the puck and turning people over. To me, the scoring chances, you saw Protas in game one, for example, that came from a guy skating, using his octopus reach to, you know, extend 15 feet away from his body because he has condor wings for arms and he uses a 14-foot stick.
Then the really long stick.
Yeah, and then it's in transition and that's how it's happening. I don't see Ovi doing that. That's not his game. I don't see him winning extra possessions with pucks in neutral ice or getting guys to turn it over with an aggressive forecheck. That's not who he is right now.
So you've heard the conversation, and I saw the shouty shows on ESPN, had a Chiron today about Ovi and the lack of points. It's become the talking point of the series because he's the biggest name. He doesn't have a point, and they're struggling to score goals, and they're down 2-1. How much of a problem has it actually been? Like, if you're giving him a letter grade, A to F, I thought a lot about this morning, what would you grade him? And I think I would grade him probably a C. So my issue is not that he's been bad. My issue is that he's been too quiet. And frankly, you need him to be better than average.
Yeah.
Like, he is the highest paid player on the team, the best offensive player on the team, the best goal scorer. So in the Montreal series, in game one, he scores the first goal of the game in the series. And then the game winner in overtime, he's already got 2 goals. He had 3 by the time you hit the road 2 games into the series. It was just a whole different impact. That's an A series. I guess someone could convince me because he's not a high-impact player defensively. Like, he was not even on the ice, really, while they were salting the game away in their win in game 3.
They were using Bavilia on both lines.
You could say he's like, because of that, defensively, they're hiding him at the end of that game in their lone win. If you want to say it's been a D series, I guess you could. I don't necessarily see where he's been bad. It's just there hasn't been enough of it. And some of that is the heavy lies the crown element of the massive expectations. Or if he was Anthony Beauvillier, he's had the same series where he's leading the team in shots. He had 4 shots in game 3. I don't think you have a big issue, but he's not. He's Ovi. He's a 50-goal season guy. Grant,
it's such a strange thing because no one in the right mind is going, this is the same player he was in his prime. And that's what made this goal season that he had with a broken leg, mind you, of 40-plus goals, that much more remarkable.
Or the Montreal series
he had. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But that also doesn't mean that I'm expecting that level of 200-foot game. It's amazing when he's leading the charge and knocking people around like he did in the Montreal series. He hit a whole bunch of people just like Tom Wilson has done, kind of carried over to both series. So the expectation years ago, this is 10 years ago, I'd go, that's a D or worse. I need my best player not to be neutralized. I don't care what they're doing. It's the same excuse when, he's double-teamed. The defensive end, who's excellent, impacts the game.
Yeah.
Impact the game. Offensive player in a basketball series. Oh, I bet you the defense is paying attention to Luka Doncic. I bet you they're concerned when Nikola Jokic influenced the game.
But can't you impact the game without scoring?
But this is – and you know
– because I think what people do is when Ovi scores, they say he played well. When he doesn't, then he didn't. And to me, in the first period, he was ultra impactful. Didn't have anything to show for it. Had 3 shots on goal. Now, he only had 1 the rest of the game. And I am acknowledging and saying, I agree. He has to be more impactful or they're going to lose the series. But I just think we look at points, goals, assists, especially for him.
For him, yes.
Other than that, the power play goal to win the last game with Carlson was set up because they were hell-bent on not allowing Ovi to do anything.
They were, and 100% right about that. So, but to finish the thought, this is not 10 years ago. This is age 40 Ovi, who's not the same player. So there's still been an impact. But he has been neutralized because of this Carolina style to me.
And that
they've kind of taken that away.
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting there going, what a bum. He's a playoff loser and a choke artist. I don't think that's the case anymore. That said, I don't think you're winning this series without him maybe lighting the lamp or creating multiple opportunities. He ends up in this series with 3 or 4 assists because there, you know, it's either the primary or he's dishing it or it's a rebound that someone else puts home, you would say, okay, now we've got something impactful. But that hasn't really been there to this point,
no.
Right?
I mean, not at all. Yeah, I think two things can be true. I think he's got to help them more than he has because points are his love language. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
My wife has expectations for me. Like, every marriage is going to be different. Every relationship, the roles are going to be different. For you, I don't know what you and your wife's situation is, but like her expectations for what you do with your kids on the weekend might be different than my wife's, where she's going, hey, you nailed it today. Good job. And someone else is looking at me going, wow, you lazy idiot. What did you do? Like, what did you actually accomplish? Mm-hmm. And I guess my point is every player's role is different. So there is some element of, with Ovi, if he's not scoring, then what is it you say you do here?
Because you're not defending.
No, you're not great on defense. I mean, there's some back checks that are good or whatever, but you're not being an X factor on that side of the ice. I would point out that he's had some shifts in this series where he's been ultra physical, and I think that those have helped. But, again, we're talking about a $9 million player,
yeah.
A Hall of Famer. It's totally fair to say you got to give the boys more. I just don't like getting into the rut of that can only materialize as points. And it has to be goals or assists or it's not going to, you know, or there's nothing to show for it. And I think that's the other side when I say both things are true that frustrates me a little bit is if it was that easy, all we need is a stat sheet. Why are we even watching the game? Who had a goal? Who had a point? Who had an assist? You know, whatever. Or if Anderson in that first period was great, well, by that standard, the Capitals didn't do anything in the first period. When the fact is they played their best period of the entire series. Let's open up the phones on this, though. 800-636-1067. Ovi's taking some heat nationally today. And you know, fairly, I think, from the fan base, everyone's saying, where are you? We need you here. How do you feel like he's played in this series? And do you think they can win the game tonight if he's not more impactful offensively? Now, they got a win in this series when he didn't have a point. Is that a possibility this evening, or does he have to lead them into the fight here? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny with you. We are at Caddy's in Bethesda on Cordell. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Back live at Caddies in Bethesda. Caddies on Cordell, the site of tonight's Caps Watch for 106.7 The Fan. Last time we were here, Ovi was breaking a goals record. We're talking Ovi right now and how they get more out of him. And if he doesn't score tonight, can they still find a way? The answer to that's obviously yes, but will they, I guess, is a better question. You can call us at 800-636-1067. The easiest answer I'd say to get him going would be you got to move the puck and get to a point on the power play where he can get a look. To Carolina's credit, I think they've done a brilliant job.
Fantastic.
He has basically had a defender parked in front of him. If you notice, there have not really been any set pieces from his office unimpeded on the power play. Now, Washington's actually had some power play success in this series. Tom Wilson had a goal in front of the net. John Carlson had a goal.
Game winner, yep.
And the reason it's the others, because there is a little bit more space to operate. So what the Caps have kind of decided to do, if you look at it, even when they've moved Ovi, the Carlson game winner basically came with him sitting in Ovi's office, creeping down toward the cage on the left circle. But they've moved Ovi a little further away from the action, knowing that they're dragging a Carolina Hurricane out with him because they're deciding he's not beating us. So now you're basically skating like 4-on-3 otherwise. Yeah. And they got to move the puck and make that work. Those numbers should be ideal. If they're going to do that and they're going to try to take away Ovi on the power play, then fine. He's not going to get a goal. But every single power play goal is a win if you could drag one skater away and then you go 4-on-3. And 4-on-3 is better than 5-on-4. You know, every time you get a lower number of people on the ice and you have an advantage, you should theoretically have more time.
You got more space.
And more space.
Yeah.
So there's not a good reason for them, in my opinion, in this series not to have success on the power play if Carolina is going to be so hell-bent on paying attention to Ovechkin.
I echo everything that you just said. So to me, the power play part, I think, is right on. That's still only a fraction of what may or may not happen over the course of the game. And those opportunities are premium, of course, and you know the score there. To me, this is more about, again, I don't have a perfect analogy for it, but to use a basketball one, if I've got a shooter who's good in catch-and-shoot situations in the half court, it means I need to get to the half court.
Shooter.
Get yourself some puck possession. Get yourself some cycling. Get yourself some offensive zone face-off. That's the Allen May prescription. Get those pucks deep. Let guys start ringing the bell a little bit. Hopefully get the forecheck going. You can cycle a couple times. You need possession. I don't think it's coming on a rush to get Ovechkin going. I mean, to me, this is about, again, getting the puck in your offensive end and keeping it there for a while. You saw that in the first period, I thought, on Saturday, where we had two or three shots in that first period over the course of it, I think.
Well, he had
two on goal.
Three looks. I don't remember if he had shots on goal.
Right.
I would imagine it was two.
Yeah, because so I think it's two on goal. I remember three good opportunities.
Yeah,
and that's kind of my point. That's where that's coming from. You don't get that without that.
You don't get that.
You don't get those Ovies without that.
Can we get breaking tea, please? We need to put that on a T-shirt. You don't get that without that.
You don't get that without that.
Let's go to Rich in Richmond, listening on Grant and Danny down in the capital of the Commonwealth. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing? Long time listener, first time caller. Got to call in. Love my Capitals.
What do you make of Ovi in this series? And do you think it's fair, pointless through three games, to come down on him a little bit?
It's not fair because we have up and down our lineup, we have players that are really, really good, and our team is as good as anybody else on offense. So I don't put the blame all on Ovi. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice, if he showed up, you know, tonight. We kind of need it. If we go down 3-1, I don't think the series is over, but it makes it quite more difficult. Obviously, you agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, sure. Thanks for the call. It's not over technically or mathematically, but when you're down 3-1 and you've got to win three straight games against a team that's every bit as good as you, you've just set up a really nearly impossible mission. And it would be amazing. Now, all of a sudden, if you're down 3-1 and you win one, they get a little nervous. If you win two, now you're forcing a game seven, pressure's on them. So it can be done. And God knows, as Caps fans, we've seen it way too many times in the other direction. But I don't even want to think about that reality yet. I want to be in a headspace where I'll worry about that when we get there. They got a really good chance to even this thing up coming home at two games apiece tonight. Specific to Ovechkin, though, he's right. And this was kind of my point. If I'm comping him to his peers, not only are there guys that have done less in this series that I'm more frustrated with, but there are, you know, a lot of guys that you would just say, you know, have been worse or that you, a whole list of guys you'd say you need more out of. The point I think that the folks frustrated with Ovi might make, and it's understandable, Lars Eller's not the same guy as Alex Ovechkin, right? It doesn't really matter if Ovi or Ryan Leonard give you the same, or if Ovi or, you know, Nick Dowd offensively are creating the same number of chances. Alex Ovechkin's role on this team is to lead the boys offensively in scoring. He is the goal scorer in the league, and so when he goes three games without a point for the second time since the season began, people take notice, and yeah. I think that's a fair critique.
And when the team isn't scoring goals. Again, if they'd scored like they did against Montreal and Ovi had none, nobody would have given a damn.
Yeah.
Because you're ringing the bell. Here, you're not. You've got three goals over the course of these three games and then one empty netter. That's the story. So, yeah, we could say, hey, we need a little bit more out of Jacob Chychrun, PLD, especially when you're on ice against their good offensive group. Well, punish them. Make them play a little bit defensive.
Yeah, where are you at, Andrew Mangiapane, since the one big goal against Montreal?
Right.
Leonard, who got parked, comes back in tonight. Bevilier has had two incredible chances to score that he hasn't potted in this series, including that empty net.
The emptiness of the
net. I mean, what was that?
Everything short of an empty
net. I'll never stop thinking about that. All those guys are on the list of, I need more out of you. Dylan Strome's got 1 point in three games. He had 9 points in five games a round ago.
Precisely. So nobody's thriving. And when nobody's thriving, your lead goose, your star, your $9 million man, the greatest goal. Yeah, some attention's going to be paid there. I think that's understood. I think sometimes it can be a lazy narrative where it's like, you know, you're extrapolating something that isn't there. But when nobody's scoring, the best scorer needs to score. Yeah.
If you're not Connor McMichael or Tom Wilson, I probably need more goals.
There you go.
At this point in this series from you. Grant and Danny on the fan. We'll talk to Tarik El-Bashir of Monumental coming up at 5:30, get his preview and keys to the game. Want to see how the Caps might implement Ryan Leonard. I'm fine with putting him back in the lineup, but if you're actually going to play Ryan Leonard, play him higher. You know, put him with a pair of guys that can skate, that he can get offensive opportunities with, use his speed with. The third line just has not been a good fit for Ryan Leonard for me. I want to talk to Tarik about that coming up in about 35 minutes. But next we'll go around the NFL. Some quarterback news this weekend, including the retirement of Derek Carr. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We're at Caddies in Bethesda on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.